Got your Bible? Say amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I'm going to read four verses or four areas in this passage. I'll give you the title in just a moment. I want you to look with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Moreover, brethren. Now, brethren means you've been born again. You're a part of the family of God.
Amen.
It's talking to the Christian. Somebody help me. We do you the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Look down to verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Somebody ought to praise him like that. Look at chapter 9 and verse number 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Turn down to verse number 15. Somebody ought to shout at this verse, chapter 9. Thanks. Well, let's stop a minute. How many's got your Bible open to that? Raise your hand. Or your cell phone, whatever you use. Will y'all read this with me? Because I think somebody ought to praise him here. Read it together. Verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. I'm going to give you four things by way of introduction. I'll introduce you to my title, and I'll preach a little bit to you this morning. I'm not going to preach on emotion. I am not going to tell you some sad story to elevate your emotion, to do something out of emotion. I personally don't think you ought to do things out of emotion. You ought to do them because you're led by God, and that God's principle in his word tells you what to do.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I know some churches that when they get into something like this, man, they tell big grandma stories and papa stories and everything else. I ain't got none of them this morning. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Amen. First of all, I want you to notice four things by way of introduction. I want you to know, first of all, the grace of God and the church. In verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. You want to say something? Hey, Brother Wayne, you've been around here a while. Some of you others been here. How many has been here over 40 years? Been a part of Taze Valley Baptist sometime over 40 years. Raise your hand. Few of you. Let me tell you something. These folks know the grace of God and Taze Valley Baptist. They were here when this little group up on Poplar Fork went by faith, planted a church in 1964. And they were here when that little church over on the right was built. They were here when there's just a few people not probably ever realizing that it would turn into this. Hello. Because if they really realized that, well, they wouldn't have put that building on the corner of that property up there. And if they really realized that, they wouldn't, and I was told this, they wouldn't have thought about selling this back part of this property. By the way, you ought to thank, he's in heaven, John Kermes, for standing in the gap and not allowing them to sell where you're sitting right now.
Amen.
You say, what is that? That's the grace of God. Hey, I want you to know something. There have been thousands of people saved, even since I've been here. This church went from 84 to where we're up in the hundreds now, almost near 1,000. You said, how in the world did that all happen? It ain't because of me. It's not because of a deacon board. It's not because of a bunch of good people. We're all sinners. We're all hellbound. We were all hellbound, but I want to tell you why. It's because of the grace of God. I'm sure when they planted this church, they didn't realize what was going to happen. But I want you to know God in His providence, God in His foreknowledge, God in all that He is, knew what is going to happen here.
Amen.
That's the grace of God in the church. Number two, this is introduction. The grace of God in the Christian. Look at verse 9. Are you there? For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Listen to me. Your Savior left heaven, left all the glory, came down here, robed in your flesh, nailed to a cross. Said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man don't even have a place to lay his head down. He was impoverished. And you say, why did he do that? So you could be a child of the King.
Amen.
An heir of God.
Amen.
Joint heir with Jesus. I'm a king's child. Somebody raise your hand if you know you're saved. I'm being healed today. If it wasn't for His gift. I'm being healed today. If it wasn't for His grace. I'm being healed today. If it wasn't for what He's done. You say, well, I believe water baptism doesn't mind. You're on your way to hell, sir. Ma'am. Young person. I believe I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Go get me to heaven. You're going to hell, sir. I believe that all you got to do is be good to get to heaven. You're going to hell. I believe it's because of the shed blood of Jesus and the grace of God I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Woo. I'm on, man. I'm going to preach on. This is the shouting part. The last step's going to be the dying part. Chapter 9, verse 6, 7. Are y'all there? And the grace of God in compensation. You know what? It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that God would let me in on being blessed. And I know some of you in here, you have no clue about it. You have no clue about what I'm preaching on. You don't even pay your tithes, so I know you ain't got no clue. And you're a robber if you don't pay. But I don't want to be negative. But that is the Bible. But here's what the Bible said. He that soweth sparingly, if you're a weak giver, if you're somebody don't pay your tithe, you're going to reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully, well, we found it. Isn't this something? Somebody help me preach right here. Why would God not keep me out of hell, take me to heaven, and then say, if I do the right principles, He'll bless me on earth?
Amen.
That blows me away.
Yes, sir.
Huh? You say, I don't see that in my Bible because you don't read your Bible. He that soweth sparingly, reaps sparingly.
Yes.
Number four. And I want you to know, lastly, the grace of God and the crown jewel. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. You know what He's doing? By the way, Joe, I'm going to preach this right down the line. You're not going to heaven because of any works. You're not going to heaven because of anything you've done. You're going to heaven because Jesus Christ is the free gift of God to salvation. And that's what I'm preaching. our responsibility in the light of the grace of God. Two things. First of all, the responsibility of the sinner. Unsaved person, unsaved man, woman, boy, and girl. Here's your responsibility. Your responsibility is to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again. That's what the grace of God demands of the sinner. I'm talking about trusting Christ. Us don't get the church stuff involved. Us don't get tithing involved. Us don't get church membership involved. That all comes later. What's first and foremost is if you're a sinner, your response to the grace of God is repentance and faith.
Amen.
Somebody ought to shout on that. But now, I want to preach on the Christian's responsibility in the area of the grace of God. This chapter, 8 and 9, deal with grace given. And it's not talking about tithing. This was a special offering given to Paul for mission work. See, your money's your tithe. God's money's your tithe. Then you give when you start getting faith promise. When you start giving to buildings, when you start giving above your tithe. You don't give a dime until you pay your tithe. And I know some of you don't pay it. That's what Jared says. I don't know your name. I ain't looking to no tithe record because I'm carnal enough. Smile. But let me give you 11 principles. In this book. This is not emotion. This is not flicking you up with some sad story to get you to give some money. This is biblical principle. I'll give you 11 things, I'm done. You say, how can you do that in 12 minutes? It's a minute, 1 minute per one. Number 1, verses 1 through 4. Please write this down. Please think about this. Outward circumstances and personal difficulties should not prevent generosity in our giving. I get so sick of people who say, well, I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. Hello? But look what it says here. In verse 2, how that in great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. This church was the poorest church in that area. They gave out of poverty. The people were not rich. Somebody asked me, where does your church fall in rich and poor? We're probably not poor, but we're not rich either. Basically, we got a lot of common people that love God. But when we collectively do right, some of you might say, well, precious man, by the way, don't do this excuse because I'm 66 and I'm facing it too. Oh, preacher, I'm afraid to do something because of retirement. I'm afraid to do that. Oh, hold on. I'm not a rich man. And I'm facing retirement too. Or death, probably death will come before retirement. But I'm going to tell you, it don't matter about circumstances. I could still do something. This church, there were some people in there that didn't even have two mites, but they give what it took to care for the ministry. You know what, son? If you ever get connected to the grace of God and you really are saved and love God, you'll never have a problem giving to His cause. The ones that have a problem giving His cause are either carnal Christians or people never really got saved. And if you don't get chastised for your everyday weak stuff you do and you live like a devil, you ain't saved. I'm tired of preaching this stuff. All right. If people don't get chastised, they're not saved. That's not even my message. Is that the truth? If you're without chastisement, you're a bastard and not a son. You're illegitimate. You've never been saved. He said, oh, that's hogwash. When you die and go to hell and burn forever, you should call it hogwash then. Number two. How in the world do I get like this when I'm trying to get money? Amen. Verse 5. Number 2. Second principle. All financial giving shall be preceded first by giving of oneself. Amen. Look at this. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and then unto us by the will of God. You know what? I'll tell you this. I'm going to talk to y'all here, you here, you here, and you here. I don't expect one dime from you if you haven't given yourself. You won't do a thing.
Amen.
You won't even pray about it. You don't care that your kids are going to be taken care of in the future. You don't care your grandkids are going to be taken care of in the future. You know why? You got to give yourself. I want to tell you what. 44 years ago, I gave myself to Jesus. And I've tried to give myself to Him. And He said, it's all yours. Amen! And I'll tell you why a lot of people don't tithe. Because they ain't never given themselves. I'll tell you why people don't participate in offers. Because they've never given themselves. But if you ever lay yourself down as a sacrifice, you won't have any problems getting on the end on God's work. I better hurry up. I got 9 more of these. I didn't mean to preach all of them so hard. Verse 6 and 7. Those who follow Jesus should excel in the grace of giving. Now let me ask you, how many of y'all have had the grace of God applied to your life if you're saved? Raise them up again. Oh, okay. Then verse 6 and 7 says, You ought to excel. You ought to be the top dogs in giving to the work of God. Insomuch that we desire Titus that as he begun, so that we'd also finish in the same grace. Therefore we abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. See that ye abound in grace also. Is that good? Number 4, generous giving is an expression of the love of Jesus. I want you to know something. Don't get mad at this. If you don't pay your tithes, you do not love God. You say, don't judge me. No, that's the truth. You do not love God. Didn't say you wasn't saved. You just don't love God. You really don't love God if you don't pay your tithe. It's right there. Right there in the verses. And by the way, you love God, you give. You love God, you do your best. Your best may not be as good as somebody else's best, but if it's your best, that's your best.
Amen.
Somebody help me. Let me give you some more here. Number 5, there is an intimate connection between the grace of God and the grace of giving. Verse 8 and 9, God gave His Son, then we give back to God because of our love for His Son. Is that good preaching? 6, verse 12, a willingness to be generous in giving is more important than the amount given. Look at verse 12. For if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to know something. Your willingness is even larger than what you give. I'm aware there's probably people here can't do as good as some other people. But there's people here probably blessed could do a large amount because you've been so blessed. I know that. But I want you to know something. How big you give, it ain't as important as your willingness to do it. I'm willing to do it. You say, why are you so willing? Because what He done for me. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, let's trust. Let's just check this out. Maybe I'll get 10 more years here. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Some of you sit in your breath. No. But anyhow, be good. But I ain't gonna, hey, listen to me. I'm promised 70 years. I may kick a bucket before it's even paid off. I may not even see my grandkids enjoy it and my daughter and son and all this. But I will tell you this. In heaven, I'll be shouting it out.
Amen.
Amen. Seven. Man, oh man. Generous giving out of gratitude to God will encourage others to do. Now here's what I don't want to do. If you're not going to give, okay, if you're going to be a tightwad, if you're going to be negative, would you please put a muzzle on your mouth? Just don't tell nobody you're going to rob God, okay? Just say, I'm not a God robber. Just don't tell nobody. I don't want to record it. What I do want, I want y'all to be encouraged. My wife and I are giving. We've already given a third of what we're giving. And on the 20th, we're going to give the rest of it. I was going to do it monthly, but we need an infusion. And I ain't going to tell you what I give. It ain't none of your business. But I'm going to do right. I'm your leader. I ain't going to be one of these preachers that ask you to do something that I don't do. My deacons know what I give because I'm responsible to them. I told them. And I will not lie to you. You say, do you have it? I'll get into my retirement. What's quiet in here? Y'all going to die today? I'll find a way. Because I'm willing. Listen to this. I'm almost done. Some of you are going, hurry. The attitude in which we give is important to God. He loves willingness and a cheerful giver. Listen to me. Now, I don't care if you make a frown and give, okay? I mean, tell you, if you give a $5,000 check next week and frown doing it, I'm shouting. But if God don't want to see no frowns, He wants you to see it. I'm giving to the future of Cave Valley Baptist. I'm giving to our young people. I'm giving to the future. I'm giving to these young pastors that'll take over Pastor Smith when he kicks the bucket. And don't get froggy until I do. And, amen. I'm almost done. Number 10 or 9. Generosity and giving moves God to supply more and meet more of your genuine needs. Chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. Here's what happened. I believe this. You give and be generous, God will meet your needs. You said, well, I need a Cadillac. I talked to Marguerite about getting me a Harley trike. And I said, would you pray about it? She said, no. So much for a Harley trike. She said, we give into the building program. Now, number 10, grace given will result in praise and thanksgiving to God. I'm going to tell you what is going to happen. You that choose to do right, when that thing's done, guess who gets all the glory? Guess who gets all the praise? Not pastor, not a deacon, not a trustee, nobody but God.
Amen.
And generous giving is the natural response to the unspeakable gift. Can I ask you a question? How many of you remember the day that God gave you the gift of salvation? How many knows the time, the day God gave you salvation? How could you not respond back by saying, I'm in this with you, God. I'm in this with you. Bow your heads unturned. You know what I'd like for you to do? Whether you give or don't give or whatever you do, I'd like for a bunch of you to come around the altar and just say this. God, I want to give myself today so that you can properly show me what you want me to do in my life. I think that'd be good. Stand with me. Before you come, I want to know how many right now Christ died for you. And folks are coming. Christ died for you. I wonder how many right now raise your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm not saved though. And I want to go to heaven before I die." Will you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me. I'm not saved, but he died for me." Just raise your hand and say, "Pray for me." Father, bless that hand that was raised. Pray they'll come. Help our people just say, "I'm coming to give myself." So God, you can then lead them to do what you want them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.
And we'll be